This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, June 16th, 2024. Sink or Swim Games.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Here in the sanctuary, they're online. It is so good to be with each and every one of you. Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's kingdom and to be together in worship and fellowship and just the opportunity to say hi to one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today we begin a series called Sink or Swim. We'll be talking about experiences at or in the pool. And today we look at games.
So good morning again, Connection Church. My name's Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks for being here today. Before we get started, three things. More announcements.
One.
Yesterday was a really special day. The church went to a home and actually went to a river, and Alan was there, and there were reaffirmations of baptisms. We want to show you a picture of that. Katie Wilbur and Charlie Prickett, who attend the 10:30 service, their baptisms were reaffirmed. And so we want to praise God for that.
Yeah.
And also, today at 12:30, there are five youth that are going to be either baptized or their baptisms will be reaffirmed at our home and in our pool. And so if you would like to come and witness that, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Tyler Edwards and Kira Novacell and Timothy Sieben are all going to reaffirm what's already been done. They're going to reaffirm their baptisms. And Mason Wolf and Maverick Bates are being baptized. So you're welcome to come, and if you want our address, just ask anybody. Everybody knows where we live, so or let us know. So that's really exciting. That was one. That was two. Oh, I think that's it. Tomorrow night, I just want to reiterate what Bonnie said. Show up. Just come. It's a great night. It's kind of a celebration.
Plus fried chicken.
Yeah, plus fried chicken.
Can't be
so
done.
All right, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that we're home. Thank you that this is our family. Thank you that we get to worship and glorify you together as a community of faith. And now, God, as we share the message that you've given us, use us, open hearts. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we grew up in Newark, and it seemed like just about every neighborhood had their own pool. First 10 years of my life, maybe first eight for you, we lived in Brookside. Anybody familiar with Brookside? You know, it's a community at one time, if it was its own town, would have been the seventh largest town in Delaware. But it had a great pool, a community pool. It had a little baby pool, had this intermediate pool, had this huge, what they called the kidney-shaped pool, and then an Olympic-sized pool with a like a 1 meter and then a 3 meter board. I mean, that was just a great place to be a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we both lived in Brookside, but then we moved. He went to Ridmill Farms, and I moved to a neighborhood in West Newark called Nottingham Green. Don't know if anybody knows, but that's where I grew up, my family grew up, and there was a neighborhood pool. We didn't have pools in our backyards back then.
Mm-mm.
And so everybody gathered. We spent hours playing, like we'd take our lunch, and mom would say, see ya, and that was it. I mean, we were just at the pool, and it was an awesome way to spend the summer.
And when we were at the pool, well, a lot of time we played games, right? We played games. And like follow the leader off of the diving board. Now that was always a challenge because you've had this one kid who was a daredevil and would try anything. And then you had to try and follow suit and break your neck or whatever. And then of course, we always played tag, you know, where it was kind of between the ladders because they were always base or underwater. And then there was this always challenging call and response game. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Marco. Now think about it. How long has it been since any of you actually played Marco Polo? And yet I said that and boom, it was an instantaneous response. Isn't that incredible? Marco Polo. And if you're not familiar with Marco Polo, the person who's it closes their eyes and yells out, Marco, and then the response,
Polo.
And then Marco,
Polo.
And you'd get ever closer until you could tag them. The only thing was, though, you could go underwater and not respond, right, and swim in the opposite direction. And the whole point was to stay away from Marco so that you wouldn't get poloed. Yeah, there you go.
All right, so we play Marco Polo with God. Like, God's constantly calling out to us. Carrie, Alan, Bonnie, Kyle, Andrea, Sheldon, Adrian, Gerald. I could name almost all of you. And God is calling us by name. Like Jesus called Mary Magdalene by name outside of the tomb on Easter morning. He calls us by name over and over and over again. And all too often, like Marco, we go underwater, so to speak, to avoid responding to the one who's calling us. We go underwater or we swim away. We just want to keep our distance, not allowing God to tag us, just like Marco Polo.
And we have to wonder, why do we do that? Maybe it's fear. You think fear? Yeah, fear. Fear of what God might say. Fear of what God might ask. What God might call me or you to do. Who am I that God would call me to do something anyway? And what if I don't have what it takes to fulfill the assignment that God's calling me to?
So we're going to look at Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2 from the New Living Translation. And this is what the Apostle Paul shares with us. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for others' faults because of your love. And so we have Paul who wrote this, and he actually was a prisoner while he was writing this. He was in jail. He was not free. And he's writing letters to the churches that he was starting, and this one was to the church in Ephesus. It's near Rome. So he's a prisoner of the Lord as he writes.
And Paul begs the people to lead a life worthy of their calling. A life worthy of their calling. For they have been called by God. And so we have to ask, so what's their calling? What's their calling? What have they been called to? Here's the thing, and if you get nothing else this morning, I think this is the most important point. God is much more interested in who you are becoming long before he's interested in what you are doing. Much more interested in who you are becoming than he's interested in what you are doing. As pastor and author Craig Rochelle says, it's who before do. Who before do. Becoming before doing. Who am I called to become before who am I called to be?
So who you are is much more important than what you do. It's really a character, and character is who you are when no one's looking, right? God calls us to be like Jesus before he calls us to do anything, before he calls us to a specific assignment or a career or a calling. And what does that mean that we are called to be like Jesus? In this scripture, verse 2 points to one of the ways that it looks like. He outlines it. He says, always be humble and gentle. Well, humble knows we know our place. You know, it's God. And then it's not all about us. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another. This is a good, like, Mother's Day and Father's Day message, too, these things. Make allowances for one another's faults. Boy, oh boy, if I don't make allowances for anyone else's faults, I am so imperfect. I need grace, which means that I have to also extend grace. That's what this, and you do it in love. And it's because of the love that comes from God through you. We can't do it on our own. So we do it in love.
So think about that. Always be humble and gentle. Not sometimes, not occasionally, not even most of the time. Say always.
Always.
Always. Always be humble and gentle. Now, I don't know about you, but this is quite an assignment. Especially that first one. Well, not especially all of them. Humble. Humble. Having or showing modest or low estimate of one's own importance. And here's the thing. Humble doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. Let me repeat that. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's not that you're not important. God thinks you're important. But it's thinking of yourself less. Humble doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less.
So there are five ways. There's a lot of ways, but we want to present five ways to be more humble. Number one, be aware of your shortcomings, strengths, and limitations. Number two, recognize and acknowledge the strengths of others. Number three, say it with me. That's a hard one. Yeah. Number four, let's say it together. Work towards putting others' needs before your own. And number five, let's say this one. Be a good listener and ensure others feel heard and understood around you. Mm-hmm. People want to be heard. Even if we don't agree, people still want to be heard. And we can do that, can't we? Yes.
Always be humble and gentle. Gentle. One definition I found said that gentle entails being humble. Hello. Being quick to forgive others and yourself. Having a soft and supportive disposition and being other-oriented. Funny how often other is being mentioned here, isn't it? Yeah. And this definition is real similar to that of the definition for humble. Gentle means to be meek and mild. Notice I said meek, not weak. And they're different. It means to be kind and tender. It means to be moderate. It means not to be harsh or severe. Gentle.
So that was verse 1 of Ephesians 4, talking about humble and gentle. The second verse says, be patient with one another, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Let's take a look at what that means.
Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Patient, able to accept or tolerate problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Able to remain calm and not become annoyed when waiting for a long time or when dealing with problems or, say it with me, difficult people.
Now you're stepping on toes, Alan. Not difficult people, but I think we sometimes get annoyed far too fast, don't we?
Calm.
Yeah.
Not annoyed when dealing with difficult. And then the question is, so how do we do that? Because there are always going to be difficult people, aren't there? And if you don't see any difficult people around you, maybe you're the difficult person. Hello. How do we do it? It's real simple. Three words. With God's help. Say it with me. With God's help. We turn to God and we ask God to help us. And with that help, then, we are able to make allowance for the faults of others. And how do we do it? Because of our love. That same love that God shows us. The same love that God has showing patience for us and our faults. We ask God to allow us to share that same love with those around us. Make allowance for their faults as God makes allowance for us and our faults. Calling then isn't so much about something you do in the future. It's about faithfulness to Jesus Christ right here and now today.
2 Timothy in the second half of the Bible gives us a little look at what this looks like. Chapter 1, verse 9, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus."
So God called us, God saved us, for what reason? So that we could live a holy life. Holy, that means sacred, that means consecrated, that means set apart for and dedicated to God. And God doesn't do this because we deserve it. If we got what we deserved, ouch. No, hardly. He did it because that was his plan before time even began. And why was that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Because he wanted to share himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with us. And because he wanted to show us grace. He wanted to show us his love. He wanted to show his unconditional love. Unconditional means no conditions. It means I'm going to love you no matter what. I can't love you any more. I can't love you any less. That's just who God is. God can't help it. That's who he is. He wants us to pick up the mantle and follow suit. He wants us to love like he does. To live lives that are holy, as God is holy. And unlike the game Marco Polo, when he caused us, he wants us to move closer, not further away. And when we're ready to move closer, it is then that we can move from calling us to who we should be to calling us to what we should do, finally.
So we've covered the who, now let's cover the do. What does God want from us? You know, God gives us each an assignment. And the first thing is to realize that, you know, you're not here by accident. It wasn't some Big Bang theory. It was God that brought you into existence. And so to accept that, and then we realize, well, then, you know, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to be the hands and feet of Christ. And so what does that mean in my doing? What does that mean? Well, that's why we're here together. We're here to try to figure out what God wants us to do in addition to getting closer to God in our spirit, in our soul. And we're here together to equip each other, to gird each other up, to encourage one another to live out the doing part.
See, the funny thing is, we don't get to select our assignments, do we? No. God doesn't sit down and say, hey, Carrie, hey, Alan, here's a list of 10 things. Put them in order of what you want to do. No. No, he gives us our assignment, and it may not be the one we might have chosen, It may not be the one that we think would bring us the greatest joy. It may not be the one that gets the most attention in the sight of those around us. But it will be the one that is needed in God's kingdom to be done by each and every one of us. Let me give you an example. God gave us assignment a lot of years ago, to bring a new church here to Middletown, to transplant us and our family from Seaford to Middletown and to start a new church. And then he gave us the assignment to build a new home for that church after a long wait. And then he gave us the opportunity to switch affiliations in order to stay true to our Orthodox beliefs. Those were all very exciting, faith-testing, push-to-the-limit sometimes, big-time opportunities, wouldn't you say? Those were exciting, yeah.
And hard.
And
challenging.
Yeah.
And God continues to give us assignments that surprise us, kind of like a, oh my goodness, because we've had an opportunity to help be a little tiny small part of launching this new denomination called the Global Methodist Church that is absolutely global. And I'm privileged to be the chair of the board of ministry. It's for the whole Northeast. It's 13 states and the District of Columbia. And I didn't ask for the assignment. I didn't even put myself on the committee. I didn't even want to be a part of it. But God did. And then being elected along with Murray and Carl to represent the entire Northeast in Costa Rica in September to ratify and vote on everything. I mean, it's like a deer in the headlights kind of thing. These are assignments that none of us asked for, but God does that. And God takes what you do and what I do and says, okay, you've done that. Now I'm going to have you do this. Now I'm going to have you do this. And it just keeps on going and going. And we can choose to like go underwater and say, no, I don't hear you. Or that doesn't work. I've done it. I've done it too many times. I did it. Like, I resisted ministry for years. But when God has his plan, it's really important to just follow it. Otherwise, nothing's going to come into place.
So sometimes God gives us those big opportunities, those ones that are out there. Everybody, watch what you're doing. Sometimes. But then on the other hand, he gives us these opportunities that are a little less visible, a little quieter, let me give you an example. For the last year and a half, God has had me leading some Bible studies over at Meadowcrest Retirement Home over there in Odessa. So on Thursday mornings. And my first half hour is with memory care. Then my next hour is with the assisted living in that wing. And then my final hour each week is with the independent living. And, in the memory care, it's really interesting because I could probably do the same chapter each week. And yet, there's a couple in there that this one gal especially. You know, I can quote scripture and I can leave off the last three words and she says them. She's right there with me. You know, and all of them appreciate, you know, being in the Bible and sharing God's word at that moment, at that point in time. And then we go to the dependent living, and these are people who need a little help. And yet, whether we have two or whether we have seven there, you know, they appreciate the attention. They appreciate sharing in God's word each week. And then we go to the independent living, who I think you might be online. Hey, everybody. The independent living, you know, they're there for a Bible study, and we get into a good discussion. We look at it a little more deeply, and it's very engaging for them and me. And here's the thing, that's important stuff. It's really important that I'm there for all three of those. But I think there's another reason I'm there. There's a young woman who works there. She brings the assisted living people up to the third floor there for our Bible study. Now this young woman, she's a real nice gal, works hard. Christianity has not been part of her life. Christ has not been part of her life. And when we're talking the Bible, I think it's a little bit foreign for her. She's not a believer.
Yet.
Now, I'm there for all the others, for all that, but I think I'm there as much for this reason. I think I'm as much there for that one young lady as I am for the other three groups of people. And you know, I try to include her. She kind of sits in the back there. And I say, hey, I ask her a question occasionally just to help draw her in. And I don't do it to be anything but inclusive, to welcome her. And I don't think she realizes it, but God is working on her. As we read through the scriptures there in that room. See, you might say, God would have you do all that just for her? Well, yeah. Because in God's kingdom, she's important. You know, we're all important. That's one of our key...
All people matter to God.
All people matter to God. You know, it's important enough that while I'm sharing with everybody else, that I include her each Thursday morning so God can drip little by little by little, allowing her to get a glimpse of this glorious kingdom that we're all aware of. Yeah. And so sometimes it's the big things God calls us to, and sometimes he calls us to drip on one person.
We're reminded of that scripture. It's the shepherd that leaves the 99 to find the one. Yeah. In God's kingdom, there is no limit to what we'll do, what God will ask us to do, because the salvation of all of God's people is important. God wants all to be in relationship with him. That's probably why the Jesus hadn't come back yet, because we have more opportunity to help share the gospel so everybody can come into a relationship with Jesus. And God knows the perfect assignment for each one of us. The perfect assignment. God's going to use your gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. When we're in Christ, we always get a gift, or two, or three, but we get a gift. And it's a spiritual gift that we get to use to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers.
Mm. You know, maybe there's some here today, maybe not quite in the position of the young lady over at Metacrest, but maybe some here who aren't quite connected. You know, maybe you're in here listening, but you haven't yet made that step to that relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're kind of sitting on the sideline, kind of watching. Not yet getting in the game. Maybe this morning there's a little tugging at your heart. Maybe there's something going on in the deep resources of your soul saying, I want to get a little closer. Maybe today Jesus is saying, why don't you invite me in? Maybe today is the day to say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I can't save myself, Jesus. I understand you're the guy that can do that. I want to invite you into my life. Maybe today's the day. I want to encourage you, if you're feeling that inkling, don't put it off any longer. Take that step. You can pray at your seat. You can pray at the steps here.
Audrey's in the back. She's a prayer warrior.
You can pray back at the prayer corner. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to fully understand what it means. You don't have to say, Jesus, I give you everything. You just have to say, Lord, come into my life. Here's the first step. Today's the day. Maybe today's the day.
Marco.
Hello.
When we play Marco Polo, we swim away from the one who's calling, you know, saying the Marco. We try to avoid being tagged by the one who is calling us. But that is not so with God. We swim toward God. God calls us to be humble and gentle, and he calls us to patience, and he calls us to holiness. Say holiness. Yes, that's the beginning of the gospel, God's holiness, and everything flows from there. He calls us to do the work of the kingdom. Big stuff, small stuff, stuff that's seen, stuff that's behind the scenes. All work is important, and all of you matter to God. We believe this, and we ask for you to take it in, to grapple with it, to pray about it. What assignment is God calling you to? But before that, we need to work on our relationship with God so that we're ready for that assignment to do the do. Be the be before you do the do. That's the gospel. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, whew, what a big morning we've had. Praise and worshiping you. That's all about glorifying you. Thank you for the opportunity to lift our hearts, lift our voices. Thank you for the time of prayer. Thank you for the new disciple members. Thank you for Father's Day. Thank you for an opportunity to give back to you through our offerings so that we could have air conditioning and lights and all that kind of stuff. Thank you, God, for your word found in Scripture. Help us honor you and bless your name. You are mighty to save. We love you. We praise you. In the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.